Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I left church this morning and thought, you know what? I don't think what I have planned for tonight is what I'm supposed to do. So I went home and I sat there and blanked out. So I'm going to do what I had planned. So apparently that's what God wants me to do. So we'll see how this turns out tonight. Amen. So by the way, Brother Bingham, where'd he go? Where's Brother Bingham at? Where's he at? Oh, there he is. I thought your joke was funny. I thought it was hilarious, because who in the right mind drinks decaf? Oh, wait. Sorry, Dad. My father-in-law's here. You drink decaf, don't you? Oops. I'm in trouble. Oops. Oh, well. It's too late. I'm sunk now. It was the wrong crowd. That's what it was. All right. So now I've got a couple of jokes, because I got to loosen up a little bit, because I shake when I get up here. So why don't cows have any money? Anybody know? Farmers are always milking them dry. Where's the one place you can always find money? Somebody's got to know this. The dictionary. The bank's a good one too. That's good. The dictionary. It's always in the dictionary. Why should you invest all your money in yeast? It can make your dough rise. Yep, exactly. I do not know who Bill Murray is. I'm sorry if that's a bad thing. I have no idea who he is. But he says the best way to teach your kid about taxes is by eating 30% of their ice cream. If you've got 3 to 4 kids, you're good. You don't even have to buy your own. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. So anyway, no, I thought those were pretty funny. If you can... So I'm gonna do something a little bit different tonight. It's a little out of the ordinary. It's not something that I would normally do for a church service, and I really would not normally do this for Sunday school. And I taught 3 weeks of finance to our teenagers the last 3 or 4 weeks. Was it 3 weeks or 4 weeks, Matthew? He can't remember. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. So I got a couple of guys go on 3 weeks. So it must have been 6 weeks. Anyway. I don't normally do that, but we've got several of our young people that are getting ready to go off to college. They're getting ready to go to Bible college. They're getting ready to be on their own. And I thought, you know what? When I left for Bible college, I had no clue of personal finance, biblical finance, anything whatsoever when I left to go to Bible college. I didn't get any of it. I went to Christian school. I didn't learn anything about a budget. Didn't learn anything about nothing. All I knew was it's okay to save. It's probably a good thing. It's probably, you know, wise to save, and it's a lot of fun to spend. And that puts you in a really bad spot when you're going to college. So I took the last 3 weeks, and I spent some time, and I didn't go into a lot of detail. I've only got about 20, 25 minutes over there with them. But I kind of added another lesson and combined some things, and I want to give it to you tonight as the title of giving as a Christian. Giving as a Christian. Now, one thing that I appreciate about our church is that we have a church of people that love to give. You don't know how big of a blessing that is to a pastor, to a pastor's family, to the church in general as a whole. It's great to have a church that is willing to give. I have seen churches where everybody was stingy and nobody gave a thing and nobody wanted to give, and the church is in a bad position when that happens, because you've got people that are not on the same page as the church, and they don't want to give. They don't want to have a part in giving. So I want to talk a little bit about giving as a Christian and some of the things that we should know as Christians about our personal finance that can help us to be better givers. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for today and your blessings. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for giving us all that you have. Thank you for salvation. I just ask that you'd be with me tonight, give me wisdom, give me the words to speak, move me out of the way so I can be a help, so, for us to be the kind of givers that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I do not normally do this, but if you can't tell, I am sweating like crazy. So I'm going to take this jacket off. Whew. Is anybody else warm? Or is it just me? Fat people get warm faster than skinny people do. That's all I can say. No comments. That's a whole lot better. All right. One of the things that I enjoy reading stories about people who are givers. I love to read stories. I love to hear stories about people that give. I enjoy giving. I enjoy doing things like that. And one of the stories that really intrigues me is that story of Dr. Russell Anderson. Anybody know the name Dr. Russell Anderson? You know who he is? You can find his biography, autobiography, whatever it is. I don't remember which one's which, but it's on. You can get it online. You can download it as a PDF and read it. It is amazing, his story. He grew up in the home of a coal miner, and he had really not much. When he got his first job in the coal mines, his father was a coal miner, and he got his first job working in the coal mines making $18 a day. Can you imagine? People just panic when they're going to make $18 an hour now, right? So can you imagine making $18 a day? He started out making $18 a day. He had a family where his mom and his dad didn't get along. They fought. They eventually got divorced. He quit working in the coal mines, became an investor somehow. I'm not sure. I didn't read through all of that, but at some point he became an investor. Over the course of his life, he made over $100 million and gave $40 million of it to the Lord. Can you imagine being able to give 40% of your income to the Lord over the course of your life? Now, that was most of that was later on in his life. I'm sure that was, the amount of money that he gave, he was a part of starting Hiles Anderson College. I believe, if I remember correctly, he helped to start over 1,300 churches. He gave and helped. He helped start several Bible colleges. But those kind of stories make me want to give and make me want to give more and make me want to be a part of something like that. And it's exciting to me that we have a church that gives. We're able to take up special projects and send Bibles over to Brazil. Be praying about that, by the way. There's still some hiccups in that. But the fact that we were able to raise, how many Bibles was that, Brother Bingham? Do you remember? 50,000. We were able to get 50,000 Bibles shipped to Brazil. Our church has been able to support building projects in Africa and do things like that. It's exciting to see those kind of things happen. And as a Christian, I have a responsibility to give towards those things. Now, I told our teenagers this a while back. You hear this all the time. If you give, God's going to bless you 1,000 times what you gave. Somebody wants a little extra money in their pocket. That's what that is. You know, God's going to bless us for giving. But he's not going to bless us. That's just, there's something wrong with that theology. It's not there. It's not in the Bible. All right. But God will bless when we as Christians give. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You probably know the verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If I can get there. I heard somebody the other day that was talking about money being the root of all evil. Can anybody tell me what the problem with that is? It's the love of money. He misquoting scripture. Somebody was a Christian. Somebody was a Christian teacher. Money is the root of all. No, money's not the root. Let's be honest. You have to have it. You can't have a house. You're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to get back and forth to work. You're not going to be able to pay for your insurance. There are so many things that we have to have that require money. Money is not evil. It's a tool that God has given us to be able to live and to be able to give. If I don't have money, I can't give. If I don't have money, I can't help. I can't start. I can't help with a building project. We've got our building fund going. And I think we've got just under $50,000, I think, in our building fund right now. So it's fun to watch that grow. It's fun to see that. It's fun to be able to give to, like I mentioned a minute ago, a Bible project or a building project. But if we don't have any money, we can't give to those things. We can't be a part in those things. We can't do those extra things that we want to do to further God's work. All right, so I want to take just a few minutes tonight. I'm hoping just a few minutes. I need somebody to wave. Sandra, wave at me about 8:30. Wave at me in about 20, 30 minutes. I'm hoping I'll be done if I'm not done yet, but make it really obvious. Hold up a sign that says, "Shut up, stupid," or something, right? I don't want to know what you're laughing about. Look at Acts chapter 20 with me, if you would. Acts chapter 20. You know, it's difficult. God wants us to be a cheerful giver, does he not? It's hard to be a cheerful giver when you don't have anything to give. Isn't it? You ever been there? You've gone and you've been somewhere at a church, or you've done something, or you saw somebody that had a need, and you thought, man, I'd sure like to give them $20, but I really need that $20 for my car payment next week, right? Have you ever been there? Yeah. I've been there, and it's not fun. It's hard to be a cheerful giver, and the Bible says very clearly that God loveth a cheerful giver. It's hard to be a cheerful giver when I'm thinking about all the stuff I got to be paying for when I really want to give to this. So let's look at a few things tonight. God wants us to be givers. Acts chapter 20, verse number 35. I will get there eventually myself. Acts chapter 20, verse number 35 says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You know, God intends for us to be givers. He intends. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. He wants me to get a blessing from being a giver. Have you ever given something to somebody and they were really excited about it? You know that feeling that you get when you've given it and you see the excitement? There's nothing more exciting than giving Lillian an ice cream cone. I'm telling you, she loves them. She thinks that, look at her right now. She's got that look on her face. Her tongue is hanging out of her mouth a mile long. I enjoy giving her an ice cream cone. It's fun. It's fun to give. Have you ever done something for someone? I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not watching my notes real careful, but I might be getting ahead of myself. You ever done something, you've gone, I am getting ahead of myself. I will come back to that in a minute. God wants us to be givers. He intends for giving to be a blessing to us, to the giver, as much as it is or more than it is to the receiver. It is enjoyable. You know, you stop and think about the Bibles that we're sending over to Brazil. And watch, it's fun to have given to that. It's fun to be watching that. But when you see those people hold that Bible, many of them who have never had a Bible in their life, they've never seen a Bible, they've never held one, they've never had their own. And to see the tears streaming down their face. To see that and to know the blessing that you were to those people because you could give to that cause. That's exciting. That's fun. So God intends for us to give, and he intends for that to be a blessing, as much of a blessing for us as givers and more than what it is to those receiving. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse number 6 says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know what I get out of that verse? God wants us to be bountiful givers. You know, I mentioned a minute ago, you hear these people say, you give a dollar, God will bless it 1,000 times. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you give bountifully, he's going to bless bountifully. right? It doesn't say he's going to do it 1,000 times. God's going to bless me the way I bless others, right? God wants me to be a bountiful blessing. I'm a bountiful blessing, aren't I, sweetheart? I'm not looking for the response. Nope. I tried to steal our visitors tonight. I'm in trouble when I get home. That would have been a big blessing to me, sweetheart. She could have been a generous giver. She had her opportunity. She blew it. I don't care. I know, right? God wants us to be generous givers. He wants us to be cheerful givers. He wants us to be generous givers. I cannot be a generous giver if all my money is tied up somewhere else. I cannot be a generous giver if I'm stingy with everything I've got. I can't be a generous giver if I turn a blind eye to the needs of others and to the needs of the church. I can't do it. God intends for me to be a cheerful giver. He intends for me to be a bountiful or generous giver. So how do we do it? How can we get to the point that, you know, there have been times when I've seen, like, the Bible Project. What was it that we raised? $2,500, and it was matched at $2,500, I believe. It would have been so nice to just write a check for $2,500, right? Boy, that would have been, it's not a lot of money. Honestly, when you stop and think about it, when you would consider what it would normally cost to ship 50,000 Bibles to a foreign country overseas, that's not a lot of money. It would have been so nice to just write a check. Boy, that would have been easy. Just write the check for the whole 5,000. Matter of fact, sign me up, write a check for 10,000, we'll send 2 crates, we'll send 100,000 Bibles, right? It'd be nice to do that, but how? How can we get there? How do we get to that point that we can be the kind of giver that God wants us to be? Number one, I got my numbers all messed up already, so we're just going to start with number one. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. We have to manage the money that God gives us wisely. I will get there eventually. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse number 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. How does that tie into managing God's money wisely? You stop and think about it for a minute. If I'm wise with the money God has given, there should be enough left over for my grandchildren to have some of it. How in the world can you do that? How is that even possible? It's a godly principle. It's a scriptural principle. And we'll look at some things. I want to look at some things tonight. How are we going to leave? Boy, wouldn't it be nice to leave an inheritance to that grandbaby? That's the children's children, right? I can't imagine having enough money to give to Lillian. The way that girl spends money is unbelievable. She wanted to go to Dollar General today and get a Mother's Day gift package, not just a Mother's Day gift. Whew. She's walking around. She's got her hands full. Daddy, let's go see what else we can get. No, we're done. No more. But where was I at? I lost track of where I was. I can't imagine giving her an inheritance enough that she could give some of that same inheritance to her children. The only way to do that is with wise management of the money that God has given to us. And it is possible if we follow godly principles. There are a lot of principles in God's word on money and how to manage it. So, number one under this, Hebrews chapter 13. I can't talk and look up a verse at the same time, so you're just going to have to be patient with me. Hebrews chapter 13. The first way that we can do that is to avoid owing money. That's a hard one. It is very difficult. Let's look at this verse here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Be content with such things as ye have. How do we get through life without owing debt? Contentment. You know how hard it was to be content with just a minivan? Yeah, thank you. Oh, watching somebody drive by with a nice pickup truck. Oh, you know how hard that was? Contentment. The lack of contentment causes us to go borrow from our future to pay for what God didn't intend for me to have today. If I'm borrowing from the future, all those things in the future that God intended me to give to, I've already used that money up. I can't give because I've borrowed it. Did I read that verse? Yeah, I did. Contentment. Contentment. Oh, it's so hard to be content in this world, is it not? You turn on the TV and there's a commercial trying to sell you a pickup truck. There's a commercial showing two people that make $20,000 a year buying a $100,000 truck. Yeah. How in the world do you do that? It's because they're not content. It's because they are trying to cause you and I to not be content with such things as we have. And when I'm not content, I am using the money that God has for me down the road to satisfy my discontentment today. We can't live in a non-content world. We can't be, help me out. How do you say that? I can't live without contentment and be able to give. It doesn't work. They don't work together. It doesn't fit. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. I think I already got ahead of myself and did this one, but we're going to look at this verse anyway. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7. "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Having debt, I did get there, having debt ties us up. We are stuck being a servant to that debtor that we borrowed money from our future for, and we can't use that. The only way to get rid of it is to sell something that we're upside down on, right? I bought that car for $50,000. As soon as I drove it off the lot, it lost $20,000, and now I can only sell it for $30,000. I lost $20,000 on it. I can't get that back. I can't get the interest. By the way, the Bible doesn't have anything good to say about interest. The Bible calls it usury. There's nothing good about it. It wastes God's money. It's not being a good steward of what God has given to us. It takes away what I could be giving toward a scripture project. It takes away what I could be giving toward building a new building in Africa. It takes away what I could be giving to our building fund here at the church. It takes away what we could be giving to one of these missionaries when they come through. It takes away all of that because we've borrowed it from our future. Look at Romans chapter 13. I'm going all over the place, and I'm sorry about that. Romans chapter 13. By the way, I pounded these things into our teenagers the last few weeks. Because, here's why. I did some numbers. I didn't do these numbers before. When I graduated from college, I was $15,000 in debt. Doesn't sound like much. I owed $15,000. I made roughly, if I remember correctly, $18,000 a year. I had no idea how to create a budget. I had no idea how to spend my money. I had no idea how to save money. And when I got out of Bible college, I was a financial mess because I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. And listen, if you're going to go be a pastor somewhere, if you're going to go be a missionary somewhere, if you're going to go try to serve God somewhere, the last thing you're going to want is all of your money tied up in debt and interest. You know how hard it is to start a church? You're the only one paying the light bill. You're the only one paying all of that. You're the only one because you don't have enough people in the church to give their tithes yet. You don't have enough people to give to missions yet. I'll never forget growing up, we had a church that there was 5 or 6 people in. And it was a big financial strain. Thankfully, we don't deal with that here. But if you're going to start a church, you don't want to leave $15,000 in debt. You don't want to leave $20,000 or $30,000. You don't want to do that because it's going to tie up everything that you could potentially use to get that church up off the ground and doing what God wants you to do. Where was I at? I kind of messed up. I don't even know where I'm at on my numbers here. Romans 13. Did I even read that? Good. Romans 13:8. Oh, no man. There it is. I should have read that first. Oh, no man, anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, it's not just a command, not just a suggestion. God's pretty serious about not owing people things. If you're going to buy something, pay for it. If you want something and you can't pay for it, you've got a future. Your money's got a future. God's got a plan for the money that you have today. Use it for what God has planned for today. All right? Let's see here. I'm running out of time really fast, and I got 2 pages yet. I got to hurry. Don't raise your hand in here in a minute, hon. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. You know, one of the ways that we can be better givers, and make no mistake, don't take this wrong. I'm not saying that our church is not a giving church. That is not at all the case. But I think in every step of the way, we can always improve how we can give. We can always make it a little bit better. And if we're careful, if we're responsible with the money God has given to us, we should be able throughout our life to increase consistently what we give to Him. So this was a whole week that I did with our teenagers. And I'm not going to do it, but I'm just going to give you some pointers. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. No, that is not right. No, I'm in 13, no wonder. 14, verse 28. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." So how do we become more financially responsible so that we can give more as God lays on our heart? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever put together a budget? I hate budgets. Oh, I hate them. I did not learn how to do a budget till I was about 30 years old. I had never created one in my life. And I still hate them. I hate them with a passion. They're a pain in the neck. Miss Sandra, she's a numbers nut. She had spreadsheets 250 pages long. She had it down to toothpaste, pepper, salt. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that detailed. She's a numbers person and she loves budgets. The story that we just read about the man that built a building and didn't have enough money to finish it. You know, if he would have had a budget, he would have known right off the bat, he would have done some research and he would have known that the foundation was going to cost $20,000. He would have known that the plumbing was going to cost $18,000 and the electrical was going to cost $16,000. The framing was going to cost $30,000 and the drywall was going to cost $10,000. All the fixtures, the faucets and the lights, all of that he would have known was going to cost $15,000. And he would have sat down and he would have counted that cost and he would have known exactly how much he needed to finish the building, right? What happens when you don't sit down and count the cost? You just start throwing money at it. Oh, you know what? I don't like that faucet, so I'm just going to upgrade it to the fancy one. And I, you know, those ceiling fans, they don't do very good in here. We're going to put chandeliers in. And these lights, they're just cheap track lights. We want real TV lights in here, right? And you begin to upgrade, and you upgrade a little bit more, and you upgrade a little bit more, and you upgrade a little bit more, and then you go out to eat. And then you go out to eat again. And then before long, you're not even cooking at home anymore, and you're just eating out every day of the week. I like to eat out. You can tell by looking at me, I like to eat out. I am the bane of Miss Sandra's existence. She hates the fact that I like to eat out, but I do, and you can tell. But look, when you have that budget, you realize, okay, it's going to cost this, 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 and this. And when you have a problem and something comes up, you can say, you know what? It's going to cost a little bit more to do this. We can downgrade this little bit and add it over here to take care of this. And we can downgrade that. And we can, when you have a budget, you can control where your money's going and you can see where you're spending it. And you know, okay, I can add this much to saving to give to my children's children. And I can add this much to giving so that I can support the next Bible project. And I can add this much to giving so that I can go on a missions trip. Oh, we got, somebody was talking about it a minute ago. When's the next missions trip?
End of May.
We got a missions trip, a domestic missions trip, going to Arizona to see the Herndons. If you can get to go on that, if it's not too late to get on that, I don't know if it is or not, but man, that would be exciting to go to. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't watch what you're spending, you're not going to have the money to go on a missions trip when the church has a missions trip available. We've got another missions trip coming. When is the next one? Has it been planned for sure yet? October, November. There's an overseas missions trip, correct? It's overseas. I don't know where it is yet. I think I know where it's at, but it's not been set in stone, if I'm not mistaken. There's an overseas missions trip. It's going to cost significantly more. You know, if you have a budget set up where you know where your money's going and you know how much you can set aside to put in your savings, to put in your giving, you have options to go on a missions trip and see what some of these people are doing across the world. You can see, wow, they've got a church full of people that are getting saved. They've got a church full of people on Saturday that are getting out and telling people about the Lord and passing out Bibles and passing out tracts and doing things. And what we are giving as a church, because we can give, is making a difference across the world. That's exciting. I don't know what point I was on creating a budget. Keep track of your spending. Set limits for yourself. These are just some points I'm going to shotgun real quick because my time's up. Miss Andrew hadn't raised her hand at me yet, but she raise your hand. Okay. Keep track of your spending. Set limits for yourself. Exercise self-control. It's good to have these things in place. By the way, if you have a budget and you're setting limits and you're exercising that self-control and you're not spending where you're not supposed to, you are building character, you're building self-control, and believe it or not, that's going to carry into other areas of your life. So I think that's one of the reasons why God has so much in His Word about money, because if we can control ourselves with money, we can control a lot of other things in our lives. It carries over, and it adds a level of character and consistency and self-control in our lives that, I'll be honest with you, when you like to eat out, it's hard to attain. I love to eat out. I took her out to lunch today just so that I could eat out again. No. Didn't have anything to do with Mother's Day. It just... But I took her where she wanted to go, if that helps. You can use that budget to build your children's children's inheritance. You can use that budget to build your giving accounts. You can use that budget to go on missions trips. You can give that, you can build that. There's so many things you can do. You have so many more options when you build that budget. Number two under that, real quick, and I'm just going to run through them really fast. Use a budget as a tool, not as a punishment. A lot of times people feel like a budget is a punishment. It's punishing myself so that I don't spend money that I want to spend. It's not a punishment. It's a tool to help you to be able to do those things in life later on. It gives you, there's going to come a point in a time in everyone in here's life when you're not going to be able to provide at the same level you do now. There's going to come a point where I feel old already. I hate to think how hard it's going to be for me to work when I'm 60, right? Though, he was amening for himself, not for me. Where was I at? He messed me up. As a tool, not as a punishment. Use it as a tool. It helps you. There's going to come a point where you can't. You can't. And to have that money set aside, the Bible says that he that provides not for his family, it's not an exact quote, and I don't have it written down, is worse than an infidel. There's going to come a point you're going to get injured. You can't provide for your family. Have some of that money set aside and be the provider that God intended you to be for your family. Set some of that money aside so that when it's time to retire, you don't have to depend on the government for 100% of your income. But by the way, that's getting less and less all the time. Yeah. You got to get older and older, and you get less and less the older you get. Don't depend on the government. That's not a good idea anyway. I'm sorry, we have a few government employees in here. I apologize. Spending less than what you make will allow you to save. It'll allow you to save and give more because you're using that budget and spending less than what you're making. It'll allow you to do more for the Lord in your golden years. How many of you, be honest, how many of you wish you could do more? You wish you could do more. I wish I could do more. I love to give. And Miss Sandra, I used to irritate the fire out of her because I would just, here, yeah, you can have some. Here, give it all away. And she'd get irritated because it didn't have clothes. I gave all my shirts off of my back. I didn't have anything left. I did not have control over what God had given me. When you take that budget and you learn how to spend the money that God's given you and you learn to be responsible with it, and again, I'm not saying that people here are not. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying the more responsible we become, and I think every day we have options to become a little bit more responsible. I get a raise. What do I do with it? Right? Is there a way I can be responsible with that raise? I don't have to go blow it on the first thing that comes to mind. I can budget that and spend a little bit of it, right? But set some more of that back for your missions trip that you want to go on. Set some more of that back for projects. Set some more of that back for giving to people. You know, I need to hurry up. I'm sorry, y'all. This wasn't supposed to go this good tonight. I don't know. I'm talking like crazy. I need to shut up. You know, There's not a whole lot of things that are more enjoyable than knowing that there's somebody in need. And just being able to go and get an extra week's of groceries. And you sneak it up to their front porch, preferably wait till they're asleep or something, and then ring the doorbell a whole bunch of times to wake them up just to be annoying. Run back to the car and drive off. That's fun. When you know someone is in need, and there are people, man, we our bus kids, we got bus kids that are always in need. There are people in church sometimes that, you know, somebody will lose a job. Somebody will, they'll have a hardship. They'll have a, and there's a big need there. There's nothing more fun than putting $500 or $600 in an envelope and go and stick it in their door after they're asleep so they don't catch you, and dinging their doorbell 500 or 600 times just to annoy the fire out of them because they're already in bed, and then running off. We got caught doing that once. Somebody caught us. But, and that was, by the way, that was before we were paying attention with our money, and it kind of hurt. It was fun, but it wasn't as cheerful as it could have been, right? It's fun to come into church the next Sunday and just watch them. Who did that? Who did that? Oh, you can see the gratefulness. There's not much that's more fun than being able to help people. There's not much that's more fun than being able to give and to be a blessing to others. Let me tell you something. If we can't be a little bit more responsible with what God's given us, we can't give a little bit more. And we can't give a little bit more. From a man that started making $18 a day and gave $40 million over his lifetime, he was responsible with what God gave him. And because he was responsible with what God gave him, God willingly gave him more. And he was able to give more. And God gave him a little bit more. And he was willing to give more. God gave him a little bit more. Because he was responsible with what God gave him, God trusted him to give more. I want our young people to catch being responsible with what God's given them. Because I want our young people to be able to help missionaries. I want our young people to be missionaries that don't get over on the field and just waste what God's given them. I want us as a church to be responsible with what God's given us so that we can fund more building projects in Africa, so that we can fund more Bible projects to Brazil, so that we can have more missions trips and more people going on missions trips and doing things. And listen, the more responsible we are, the more God will bless. The more we give responsibly, the more God will bless. The less we borrow, the more God will bless. Last thing, and I'll be done, I promise. I heard this week, some of you, I will not tell the name, but if I did, some of you would know who I'm talking about. It's a church in Minnesota that just began a building project here not too long ago. $1 million building project is paid for. 500-seat auditorium, the church raised the money 100%. They've completely paid for their entire project. $1 million plus. That doesn't come from financial irresponsibility. And again, I'm not saying that people here are financially irresponsible. Don't misunderstand that. But the more responsible that we are with God's money, the more he gives for us to be able to return. That's all I have tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.